You know that feeling, right? I mean, it's 2026 and you're sitting in one of those quarterly strategy meetings.
Oh, yeah. The tension in those rooms is just palpable lately.
Exactly. There's this heavy, unspoken pressure just hanging over the table. Your board has officially mandated an AI strategy, and your CEO is, you know, staring you down.
And they want measurable results in exactly 2 quarters.
Right, 2 quarters.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, your biggest competitors just launched these really flashy new AI-powered features.
Yep. And your own customers are starting to ask, hey, when are you going to have that?
Yeah, it's just the ultimate recipe for enterprise AI FOMO, you know, that fear of missing out.
It really is. And in response to all those boardroom mandates, you typically see a handful of, well, completely disconnected AI experiments just sprouting up.
Right, like shadow IT all over again.
Exactly. Oh. Marketing buys one tool. Engineering is testing some open source model, and operations tries to, like, build a custom chatbot.
Just total chaos. Total chaos. There's no unified direction, no governance, and mostly absolutely no connection to measurable business outcomes.
Which brings us to the shocking reality of where we actually are with all this technology. I mean, we have the data right here from the sources, and my jaw just hit the floor when I read this.
It's a rough number.
It really is. So according to MIT's 2025 GenAI Divide report, an astonishing 95% of enterprise generative AI projects...
Wait for it.
Failed to move beyond the experimental phase. 95%. You're looking at a near total failure rate across the corporate landscape.
It's a staggering statistic. And it validates how frustrating it must be for you, listening to this right now, to constantly hear about the limitless potential of AI.
Right, the hype is everywhere.
While simultaneously witnessing these massive, expensive crash and burn scenarios all around you. So the mission for today's deep dive is to unpack this.
Yes, let's get into it.
We're looking at a highly structured four-phase framework from Technogean. They're an AI consulting practice serving the Orange County and LA areas.
And they've actually figured this out. They have. They've systematically documented how to turn these chaotic AI experiments into actual measurable business value.
Okay, so by the end of this deep dive, you are going to know exactly how the successful 5% of companies are actually pulling this off.
Exactly. We'll keep things conversational, but, you know, we aren't going to shy away from the mechanics either.
No, we need to understand how this works. But before we map out the solution, we kind of have to look at the wreckage first.
Diagnosing the problem.
Right. The great AI disconnect of 2026.
Yeah. So if we look at the PwC 2026 Global CEO Survey, 56% of CEOs report getting literally nothing from their AI adoption efforts.
Zero return on investment.
Zero. And even more telling, 42% of companies completely abandoned most of their AI initiatives in 2025.
Okay, wait, I have to jump in here and just push back on that framing a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Because, I mean, I lived through the great cloud migration of the 2010s, and honestly, that was a disaster for years, too.
It was definitely bumpy.
Right. Like, everybody failed before they succeeded. Mobile adoption was the same way. So aren't these just the standard, unavoidable growing pains of a massive paradigm shift? Like, why is AI inherently more prone to failure than the cloud was?
That's a great question. The mechanism behind the technology is just fundamentally different.
Mm.
Cloud migration, while difficult, was deterministic.
Deterministic, meaning what exactly?
Meaning a server either spins up or it doesn't. A database either ports over or it throws an error code. Generative AI, on the other hand, is probabilistic.
Ah, okay. It operates on statistical likelihoods.
Exactly. An AI model might spin up perfectly, integrate with your systems flawlessly, and then, you know, confidently hallucinate your Q3 earnings report because it lacked the right semantic context.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's terrifying.
The sources show that AI has the highest enterprise failure rate in history. Around 70-85% fail to meet expected outcomes because companies are treating probabilistic reasoning engines like traditional deterministic software.
That makes perfect sense. You can't just, like, install it and assume it works linearly. The sources actually outline 5 specific failure modes that trap these companies. Let's walk through the mechanics of those.
Sure. So the first trap is fragmented initiatives. People often call this shadow AI.
Where different departments just spin up isolated tools.
Right. They split the budget, they duplicate API costs, and nobody shares any learnings. The second trap is missing change management. That's deploying the software without actually re-engineering the daily tasks of the employee.
Which we'll get into later because that is huge. What's the third?
Third is the lack of measurement infrastructure. They deploy the tool, but never establish a baseline for how long a task used to take.
So they literally can't prove mathematically that there's a return on investment.
Exactly. And the fourth is what they call pilot purgatory.
Oh, I've seen this one. This is where a team builds like a brilliant local prototype on a laptop.
Yep.
But the company lacks the enterprise architecture, you know, the security protocols, the access controls to ever actually deploy it safely.
Right. Just dies as a really cool demo. But the fifth and honestly the most fatal trap is being technology first instead of problem second.
Oh, I love the phrasing on that. Technology first, problem second. It honestly reminds me of those late night infomercials.
How so?
Well, you know, you're sitting on your couch at 2 a.m. and you see this incredibly shiny, highly specialized, ridiculously expensive kitchen gadget.
Oh, sure. It chops, it dices, it lasers.
Exactly. And you buy it purely because of the vendor hype. It arrives in the mail. And then you just spend the next month wandering around your kitchen holding this thing, desperately searching for a vegetable to obliterate just to justify the purchase.
That is a perfect analogy. Organizations are doing exactly that with large language models right now.
Just buying the hype.
Yeah, they sign a massive enterprise contract for a shiny new AI tool just because their competitors did. And then they mandate their department heads to go hunt for a business problem that might be able to solve.
But the 5% of companies that actually succeed do the exact opposite, right? They begin with the business problem.
Exactly. Which brings us to the actual roadmap from Technigian. How do successful companies filter out the hype and begin this process?
Right. So this is phase one, the alignment check. And this covers weeks 1 through 6.
The core objective in phase one is a strict rule. Do not touch any technology yet. Do not buy a single software license.
That's got to be hard for a CEO who wants results right now.
It is, but it's crucial. The goal is a strategic alignment and readiness assessment. You have to define exactly why you are investing in AI and identify the 2 or 3 highest ROI use cases based on actual business friction.
And a massive part of that readiness assessment is looking at the organization's data architecture, right?
Absolutely.
I know we always hear the basic garbage in, garbage out cliche, but the sources point to a much more advanced problem here. They say only 26% of chief data officers are confident their data can support AI-driven outcomes.
That's a really low number.
Yeah. And we aren't just talking about like typos in a spreadsheet here, are we?
Not at all. Mm-hmm. We're talking about unstructured enterprise data. Most corporate knowledge is trapped in PDFs, disorganized SharePoint drives, fragmented Slack logs, legacy ERP systems.
The stuff that's just everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you don't have your data pipeline structured specifically, if you haven't mapped your data into vector embeddings that an AI can actually read and retrieve contextually, the large language model is effectively blind.
So it's like onboarding a brilliant Ivy League educated executive, but locking them in a basement with thousands of shredded, unindexed filing cabinets and then expecting them to draft a brilliant corporate strategy by Tuesday.
That's exactly it. The intelligence of the executive or the AI is completely irrelevant if the context is unreadable.
Right. And discovering that your data architecture is fundamentally unreadable mid-implementation has to be catastrophic.
Oh, it is. The sources note that pausing a deployment to clean and structure data adds 3 to 6 months to a project timeline. Yeah. The financial stakes of skipping phase one are severe. Organizations routinely waste upwards of $500,000 on failed experiments just because they tried to run an AI over fragmented data silos.
Wow, $500,000. Whereas investing the $25,000 to $75,000 required to execute phase one properly, you know, doing the data mapping, establishing the baseline metrics, means every dollar spent there saves $5 to $10 in wasted development later.
Exactly. You're essentially paying for the architectural blueprints before you pour the concrete.
I like that. So once those blueprints are in place and the high ROI use case is identified, the focus shifts to proving the concept actually works in reality.
Right. And that brings us to phase two, proof of concept and validation, which runs from weeks 6 to 12.
Now, I have to ask about the methodology here, because the key differentiator the sources highlight is the actual data used to test the system.
Yes, this is critical.
Because most vendors will just give you a sanitized, perfect sample data set to run your pilot on, right? But the Technigian framework demands that you use actual, messy, real-world business data for the proof of concept.
Using sanitized sample data is exactly how companies end up in pilot purgatory. Sample data is perfectly structured to make the vendor's AI model look flawless.
But enterprise environments are chaotic.
Highly chaotic.
It's the difference between demo-grade excitement and production-grade evidence. If you're buying a high-performance sports car, using sample data is like test driving it on a completely smooth private track on a sunny day.
Of course, it handles beautifully.
Right. But using your actual business data, that's taking the car onto the 405 freeway in downtown LA traffic during a rainstorm. Yeah. You need to know how the braking system handles unpredictable chaos before you invest millions.
Spot on. And the data reveals that 46% of all AI proofs of concept are scrapped before reaching production. They fail that LA traffic test.
Really? Almost half.
Almost half. The latency is too high, the API costs balloon unexpectedly on larger data sets, or the model hallucinates when it hits edge cases in unstructured data. So Technegian tackles this by delivering a working proof of concept within just 2 weeks.
Okay, wait. I need to push back on that timeline. 2 weeks. In enterprise technology, 2 weeks is usually how long it takes just to schedule the initial kickoff meeting.
Sure.
How on earth do you build a working AI pilot on messy, proprietary enterprise data in 14 days securely? You can't just dump personally identifiable information into an open API without triggering a massive compliance breach.
You can't. The speed is achieved through secure localized architecture. You don't dump your entire enterprise database into an open model. You use data masking to strip out personally identifiable information, or PII.
Okay, so anonymizing it first.
Right. You set up containerized environments and utilize zero retention API agreements with model providers, ensuring your proprietary data isn't used to train their public models.
Ah, so you're essentially isolating a secure sandbox, porting in a complex slice of your actual data, and testing the reasoning engine against it.
Exactly. You're validating the logic without exposing the crown jewels. And by doing it in 2 weeks, you maintain the project's momentum.
That makes a lot of sense. So you take that working pilot, measure its output against the baseline metrics established back in phase one, like current operational costs, time to completion, error rates, and you present the executive team with hard math.
And then the go or no-go decision for full investment is based on quantifiable impact, not just a flashy PowerPoint demo.
Okay, so let's say the executive team approves the business case. What happens next?
The challenge shifts from technical validation to organizational reality. This is phase three, production deployment and integration, covering weeks 12 to 24.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. We masked the PII, ran the test on messy data, and the reasoning engine held up. The CFO looks at the baseline metrics, love the projected ROI, and signs the check.
We are officially deploying.
Right. We scale the enterprise architecture, single sign-on, role-based access, audit logging. The code is solid. But according to the sources, the data says we are still highly likely to fail at generating a financial return at this stage. What is breaking down?
The failure point shifts from the API to the desk chair. The missing link of enterprise AI is the human workflow.
The human workflow.
Yes. The technology works, the security is tight, but the company fails to re-engineer the actual daily habits of the employees using the tool.
Wait, are you telling me that if a company buys their entire operations team expensive Copilot licenses and fully integrates them into the tech stack, productivity doesn't automatically go up?
No, it doesn't. The source material states explicitly that productivity gains of 10 to 15% only materialized after formal job redesign and structured enablement.
Oh, wow.
If you don't redesign the workflow, employees will just use $1 million cognitive reasoning engine as a glorified spell checker, or to summarize a few emails, the financial return will be zero.
Let's make this concrete for the listener. Walk me through what a redesigned workflow actually looks like versus a traditional one. Let's take a mid-level financial analyst.
Okay. In a traditional workflow, a financial analyst might spend 4 hours manually pulling data from three different ERP systems, formatting it in Excel, and then maybe 1 hour actually writing the strategic analysis report.
Okay.
If you just drop an AI tool onto their desk without redesigning the job, they might use the AI to write that final report faster. They save maybe 30 minutes.
Which barely moves the needle on the company's bottom line.
Exactly. But in a redesigned workflow, the AI is integrated via APIs to pull and format the data instantly. The analyst goes from spending 4 hours calculating to spending 10 minutes prompting.
That's a massive shift, but AI is probabilistic, right? Meaning it can make math errors.
Yes. So the analyst's job must be fundamentally re-engineered. They are no longer a data gatherer. They're an AI output auditor. They now spend their time validating the AI's reasoning, red-teaming the logic, and focusing entirely on high-level strategy.
That is a massive psychological shift. You're asking an employee who has spent 10 years being rewarded for their data gathering skills to suddenly become an editor and a strategist.
It requires deep, intensive training. Structured enablement is the term used in the framework, and it requires dozens of hours per employee.
Dozens of hours.
Yes. It involves hands-on practice, teaching them prompt engineering, showing them how to identify model degradation or hallucinations, and letting them fail in safe environments.
You're literally rewiring how a human approaches problem solving.
Precisely.
I mean, you can't just bolt a jet engine onto a horse carriage and expect a smooth commute. You have to train the pilot, and you have to rebuild the vehicle from the ground up to handle the thrust.
That's exactly it.
So let's assume a company survives this. The AI is integrated securely, the employees have spent dozens of hours retraining, and the newly redesigned workflow is humming. They have an ROI.
Success.
What happens in month six and beyond when the CEO says, great, now let's automate the HR onboarding process? Do we have to start from scratch?
Absolutely not. This is phase four, scaling, optimization, and next horizon planning. And this is where the successful 5% of companies pull light years ahead of their competitors.
Because of what the framework calls the compounding effect, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you've already built the governance frameworks, established the secure data pipelines, and trained your organization on how to adapt psychologically to AI, every subsequent AI deployment becomes 40 to 70% cheaper to execute.
A 40 to 70% discount on all future innovation, that is an incredible advantage.
It's massive.
The companies doing the hard, painful, expensive foundational work right now are essentially laying out a massive municipal plumbing system. So the next time they want to turn on a faucet in a new department, the water just flows.
And enterprise environments are going to need a lot of different faucets. The sources highlight a fascinating multi-platform reality here. Over 80% of large enterprises are already running three or more AI model families concurrently.
Wait, why would a company need three different models? Wouldn't you just like standardize on one vendor?
Not necessarily. Different probabilistic models excel at different tasks.
Oh, right.
You might use Microsoft Copilot for general office productivity and email synthesis. But your engineering team might need Anthropic's Claude because it is demonstrably better at coding and complex logic flows.
Makes sense.
Meanwhile, your data science team might utilize Google's Gemini because it has a massive context window for analyzing hundreds of PDFs simultaneously.
Which makes the unified governance established back in phase one absolutely mandatory. I mean, if you have three different artificial brains operating across your proprietary data, you need a centralized set of security rules.
Exactly. You have to prevent a scenario where the coding AI accidentally pulls confidential HR salary data because the permissions weren't mapped correctly.
Right. And that centralized governance is the only way to prepare an organization for the next massive wave of transformation, which the sources indicate is already arriving. Agentic AI.
Yes, the agentic future.
I want to highlight a massive statistic from Gartner included in the research here. They project that 40% of enterprise applications will feature task-specific AI agents by the end of 2026.
That is literally around the corner.
We throw the word agent around a lot in tech, but mechanically, how does agentic AI differ from the chatbots we're all interacting with today?
Think of a standard AI chatbot as a brilliant but static advisor. You ask it to write a draft of an email, it gives you an output, but you, the human, still have to copy that text, open your email client, paste it, and hit send.
Right, it doesn't do anything on its own.
Exactly. Agentic AI refers to autonomous systems that can actually reason, plan, and execute multi-step tasks across different software applications via APIs without any human intervention.
Okay, walk me through an example of an agent executing a multi-step task in a corporate environment.
So instead of asking a chatbot, what is our corporate travel policy for flights to New York?
Mm-hmm.
And then manually navigating a booking software yourself, you would simply tell an AI agent, I have a supply chain conference in New York next Tuesday.
And the agent just takes over the workflow.
Entirely. The agent understands the context. It pings your Outlook calendar via an API to check your availability. It cross-references the internal HR vector database to read the travel budget policy.
Wow.
It autonomously logs into the corporate travel portal, purchases the flight that fits the criteria, injects the itinerary into your calendar, and generates a preliminary expense report in your accounting software. It strings together reasoning, planning, and tool use seamlessly.
That level of autonomy is incredible for scaling productivity, but it's also deeply terrifying if your foundation is cracked.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if an autonomous agent has the power to execute actions and spend company money, the governance decisions, the data cleaning, and the security protocols established back in phase one literally dictate everything.
They determine if these future agents become a massive force multiplier for your business or a profound liability that hallucinates and accidentally buys 5,000 non-refundable first-class tickets.
Exactly. The foundational architecture dictates the future safety of the enterprise. You just cannot build autonomous workflows on top of unstructured, ungoverned data silos.
You really can't.
Well, we've covered a massive amount of ground today, unpacking the mechanics of why 95% of companies are failing and how the 5% are quietly building the future.
It's a lot to process.
It is. But if you take away just one central concept from this deep dive, it should be the universality of this roadmap. Whether you're leading a $50 million mid-market company looking to scale quickly, or you're sitting in the C-suite of a massive legacy global enterprise, the four phases remain exactly the same.
Start with the business problem, never the vendor hype.
Right. Clean and structure your data so the reasoning engine isn't blind. Prove the concept using messy, real-world data inside a secure sandbox. Govern the multi-model architecture fiercely. And most importantly, do the hard work of re-engineering the psychological and daily workflow of the humans in the desk chairs.
Because bolting advanced probabilistic AI onto a broken human process just gives you a faster broken process.
Exactly. The framework replaces that chaotic gold rush mentality with rigorous, measured engineering discipline. But it leaves me with one final, slightly provocative thought for you to mull over as we wrap up.
Let's hear it.
We've talked so much about the technology, but think about this. If 95% of AI failures are caused by bad data, skipped training, and a lack of strategy, does that mean the companies that ultimately win the AI revolution won't actually be the ones with the best technology?
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. What if the winners are simply the ones with the best organizational psychology and change management? Is AI actually just a human problem in disguise?
That is a fascinating way to look at it.
Something to think about the next time you're staring down a massive tech deployment. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep questioning the hype and look for the underlying mechanics.
Thanks for listening.